Great show for you. For the first half of the show, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Fulvia Milite, and she is the director of the White Plains Hospital Sleep Center. We're going to talk about getting a good night's sleep. How about that? And if you aren't, well, then you can check us out. We're going to be turning then to the director of White Plains Hospital's Department of Radiation Oncology about some amazing new tools and treatments for cancer, wrapping it up with a chat with dermatologist Dr. Lauren Adams and how to stay sun safe. And then when we return from the break in our second half, we're going to be connecting with Sandy Gallo, coordinator for the bariatric surgery program here at White Plains Hospital, to talk about options when traditional weight loss programs aren't the answer. Now I'd like to introduce you, Dr. Fulvia Milite, and you are the first guest today, bright and early. Ironically, we were just talking about the fact that you didn't get such a good sleep last night. I think you're in good company with probably the rest of the planet. Let's get rolling. Let's talk about sleep, doctor, today. Welcome. First of all,
hi, thank you for having me.
You're also a pulmonologist and the director of the White Plains Hospital Sleep Center. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, so what does one have to do with the other? Could you explain that to us?
Sure. Sleep medicine has specialists in many different fields of medicine. Pulmonary just happens to be a common specialty that goes into sleep, because one of the most common disorders in sleep is obstructive sleep apnea. And the treatment is essentially a non-invasive ventilator, very well managed by a pulmonologist.
Okay, that's what it is. All right, then. Yes, because those machines are breathing machines, basically, for people, right?
Right.
Okay, we're going to hear more about that. Just overall, in general, we know that sleep makes us feel better, and when we don't get it, we're cranky, but it must affect more than just, you know, whether or not you're in a good mood. How common are issues with sleep, and tell us a little bit about just the whole subject of sleep and not getting it and what that does to us.
Okay, so sleep is important for both brain function and learning and remembering. It can impact your emotional health. It makes it difficult to make decisions and cope with change, and it's also been linked to depression. Good sleep contributes to physical health. It helps us maintain a healthy weight, a healthy immune system. The importance of getting sleep, or the importance of getting sleep, because the lack of sleep affects us significantly. It can affect heart disease, kidney disease, hypertension, diabetes, and strokes. It increases the likelihood of disorders in all those areas if you don't get good sleep.
Absolutely. I heard something, because I used to do overnights on a radio station, and the woman who I replaced had actually been doing overnights for many years, 20-some years, and she actually died of a cardiac situation, and she was very young, and I heard it the other day, the same thing. So there must be a link to that, and then I read an article that indeed it affects that. I mean, how crucial is it? But so many of us, Americans, we're getting, some of us, especially if you're a new mom or something, maybe 3-4 hours of sleep a night. It feels impossible. So if you could tell us, what are some of the signs that someone's not getting enough sleep? And then, of course, we want to talk to what the solutions are.
Okay, so the amount of sleep that's needed for every individual to have a good day, to get through the day where you are functioning well, you're not falling asleep when you don't want to, that you wake up feeling refreshed, it may vary from person to person. It could be 6 hours for some, 8 hours for some, even up to 9 hours. But if you're getting what you think is a good night's sleep, 7 or 8 hours, and you're waking up feeling tired, if you're waking up multiple times per night, if you're not feeling like you're functioning well during the day, if you're snoring, those are all signs that something is going on. If you're getting insufficient sleep, if you're just not in bed long enough, that alone is not a good thing. So anything less than 6 hours of sleep can affect, again, emotional health and functioning during the day.
Okay. And you talk about snoring. Is snoring related to sleep apnea, or are they not?
So most people with sleep apnea snore. That being said, there's a lot of people who snore who have no other medical disorder other than waking up their partner in bed, which is the most common reason for my getting a consult.
Right. So people can come to you. And now, do you go through very in-depth types of tests, or is it just a conversation? How do you diagnose someone?
So when someone comes in, the initial consult can take up to an hour. We go through all sleep habits, what's happening, their bedtime, their wake time, any what's called parasomnias, activity during the night that is considered, patients don't know when they come in if it's normal or not normal. So it can take a while to go through all their medications and just the habits during the day, which will affect nighttime disorders and their medical conditions, because many medical conditions can affect your sleep. So that initial consultation can be extensive. And then the decision is made whether this is an issue with habits that can be changed through habits, or if there's something that needs to be ruled out that requires further sleep testing, which is a sleep study that you would have to go to a sleep lab and sleep overnight. They would monitor multiple physiological parameters and with that decide if there's anything that is affecting the quality of your sleep.
I see. Well, I have a couple of solutions when I can't sleep, and you may or may not say, Laura, that is just not a good thing to do. One thing I know, that I sleep better when I get exercise. So I'll make sure I do like a long walk, an hour walk or something like that during the day, because I notice that when I don't, if I'm sitting all day at a computer or in a car, I don't sleep as well. That's A. And B, I take that little over-the-counter ZzzQuil, a little a capful every night before I go to sleep, just to help me, because I'm just one of those that will wake up at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, not really go to the bathroom, that kind of thing, or the cat will make a noise or something like that. Am I right about exercise, and am I doing a bad thing by taking a little capful of that stuff every night?
Okay, so exercise is important, and daily exercise will help sleep no matter what and your overall health. But exercising within 3 hours of bedtime can actually hype you up and make it difficult to fall asleep. So for people who are having trouble falling asleep, exercising 5 to 6 hours before bedtime is ideal. And then, other than that, exercising any time is good. It just might not help you fall asleep, precisely.
Okay. And what about the over-the-counter sleep aids?
So those over-the-counter sleep aids all have antihistamines in them. And they work. They're fine to use occasionally. If you use them every night, the effect decreases. And likely, if you're using it every night, it's more of a sugar pill effect than the actual effect. But if it works, keep doing it. There's no harm.
Okay, good to know. And those strips and things like that to stop you from snoring, do they work? And what are some of your options for stopping snoring or whatever fitful sleep or whatever it might be?
So snoring can often happen if you're congested, and those strips are very good at decreasing congestion, decreasing hypertrophied nasal turbinates, and it can help snoring. They don't necessarily do anything for obstructive sleep apnea or for conditions that are more extensive than the snoring, but they're fine for snoring, and in some people they work if that's the reason they're snoring.
I know this is probably too much information, but I used to drink wine at night and things like that. When I drank one or two extra glasses, I found that I was snoring. But I haven't been drinking it all this year. I've decided to be alcohol free, and I've noticed that stopped.
So alcohol will help you fall asleep, but the second half of the night is disrupted with more arousals. So people with insomnia will often ask me if it's okay to continue taking a little shot before bed, and that would be the effect. It actually disrupts your sleep later on. If you have obstructive sleep apnea, it will worsen the obstructive sleep apnea, so it's not recommended.
I'll stick with the ZzzQuil or whatever, and the good exercise, 5 or 6 hours. Those are so helpful, and it's good to know that people can come to you, Dr. Melite, for something like the sleep, because obviously it's something that we all have to deal with, and it makes such a big difference, getting it and not getting it. So thank you so much for helping us today. Where can people find you? Should they call the White Plains Hospital? Do you have a direct email here at the hospital?
I do. So you can contact me by phone is best to make appointments at 914-235-8224. That's the main office where I work, and it happens to be in New Rochelle. But I also see patients at Scarsdale Medical Group in Harrison, If you need to find me at the hospital, I'm usually reading studies in the lab a couple of days a week.
If you're not sleeping, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much. That's really helpful. Dr. Fulvia Milite, and she is the sleep specialist here at White Plains Hospital, also